Restrictions apply. Call or go to att.com/TV to see if you qualify. Total home DVR functionality is available on up to 8 TVs and requires a receiver for each additional TV at $7 a month. Taxes and other charges apply. Offer ends 11-6-10. Price for you family TV. New residential U-verse customers only. After 6 months, existing standard rates apply. For details, visit att.com/TV.
Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. This hour of Ebling and You being brought to you exclusively by AT&T. Find out what's possible when you can record your shows and play them back in any room with AT&T Total Home DVR. AT&T, rethink possible. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, and that is Kyle Malin, the editor of the MERS newsletter and columnist The City Pulse. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Jack?
Just fine. Before we start talking about the state conventions, am I the only one who finds it tremendously ironic that the tires and rims off of one of Detroit Mayor Dave Bing's security vehicles stolen overnight?
Oh, that's not a good story, is it? That's not a good story at all.
I mean, if you're going to steal something, what the heck? You might as well take it off the security vehicles.
Yeah, I want to know what kind of security vehicles they're driving on that it's that attractive that you want their rims and tires.
I think they left Kwame Kilpatrick's security detail here. Certainly it doesn't look like they're doing much.
Must have been. I'm surprised they didn't take the whole vehicle.
Let's talk a little bit about the state party conventions and the candidates we have now for lieutenant governor. And particularly interesting on the Republican side. And apparently Brian Kelly was a great choice for Rick Snyder, but not so for the Tea Party.
You know, the Tea Party is, you know, the loose conglomerate there of the conservative, fiscal conservatives, I guess, of the world. And, yeah, they had their own ideas about what they want to do for lieutenant governor. I think they wanted to flex their muscle a little bit and show, hey, look, we're part of this party, I guess, and, you know, we want to show what we can do. And so what they did is they nominated Bill Cooper, who's from Holland, a failed congressional candidate, finished fourth, and nominated him for lieutenant governor. He did get some support, as from what I understand. He had a significant number of people at the Republican convention raise their hand in support of his nomination. Now, the problem is you know, they let a vote go of sorts, but, you know, these Tea Party folks have a lot of ambition, but they're not necessarily studied up on the process, and so, you know, their idea of trying to get him on the ballot didn't exactly work out quite right. And then as folks were talking and discussions were had, Bill Cooper just finally decided to withdraw his name because at the end of the day he wasn't going to win. Brian Kelly was going to beat them 2-1, and I think they just wanted to show their collective strength there. And if that indeed was their point, then point was taken.
Is Brian Kelly a lot further left than I can envision?
No. No. He's not. He's not even right of middle. I mean, he's not even middle. It's more about making a statement, I think, at the convention than any real problems with Brian Kelly. I think the excuse that they made up as far as his vote had to do with his drafting or his alleged participation in the Michigan business tax, when in reality he was just a minority freshman member in the room when the majority bigwigs were cutting the deal. I mean, he was a voice, but he was by far not the author of that thing. But, you know, when you're trying to exercise a little bit of political control, you'll come up with what you can, and that's what they came up with Brian Kelly. No, is he liberal? There's no way on earth you can call him that.
It's almost as if they read the Democratic Party staff releases that labeled Brian Kelly as the architect of the Michigan business tax.
Yeah. He was just in the room when the thing was being drafted. That's just a little silly. And, you know, they also tried to hit him on that vote that they made to get rid of the sales tax on services in exchange for a surcharge on the Michigan business tax. Now, if you remember that vote, this is what was going to happen. If they did not create the Michigan business tax surcharge, then we would have had the sales tax on services. Mm-hmm. This was not a vote
right.
where you could have neither. This was an either-or situation.
Right, and they wouldn't like either way.
And so to blame him for voting the Michigan Business Tax surcharge, well, then you have to say, okay, well, then did you want him to vote no and give us the sales tax on services? You know, maybe it's a Hobson's choice of sorts, but you have to be a little, you know, at some point you've got to be a little realistic with the facts, and you got to be genuine with your arguments.
Kyle Malin, the editor of the MERS newsletter, our guest on Ebling and You. Kyle, one of the things that has been so attractive about Rick Snyder to a lot of the people I talk to and what their plans are for this election is the fact that they don't think he's beholden to any political party, and he's kind of a fresh face, nerdish or not. And it almost seems as if that attraction is driving some of the far-right elements of the Republican Party and the Tea Party. Maybe they'll go to the polls holding their nose.
Well, they could. You know, it's very possible. Or they could vote with a third party. I mean, there is the U.S. Taxpayers Party that's been on the ballot before. That's another option for them. They could go Libertarian. I mean, they don't have to vote Republican. They don't have to vote at all. But if they're looking at somebody who best represents their values and who's winnable, I think in the end they'll go to Rick Snyder. And if they go there holding their nose, then who's it at the detriment of? I mean, is it? Right. I mean, if you're a moderate, if you're in the middle of the road, do you feel sorry for the Tea Party? No. I mean, for people who have been in the middle, I mean, how many times have we gone to an election and thought, well, you know, these are both maybe polar opposites. They're ideologues on both sides, and yet we got to pick between them. Right. Here we've got a political, I don't know if he's necessarily moderate, but certainly a lot more moderate than any of the other Republican options that we had out there.
Right.
And Virge Bonaro, I got to say, you know, you can't really paint him with a super liberal brush either. Every time that we did rankings at MERS on his legislative voting record, he was, as far as Democrats go, right down the middle. I mean, he was liberal on some votes, conservative on other votes. And as mayor of Lansing, I can't say that he's been necessarily liberal either. I think that he's done very well with the business community. So really, I think the choices here, obviously, you know, Virge Bonaro is not as moderate or conservative as Andy Dillon, but he's certainly not as left-wing as some other options that we could have had.
Mm-hmm. What about the Democratic choice of Brenda Lawrence? I'm not totally sure how much lieutenant governor candidates even matter in terms of someone going to the polls, but what can you tell us about Brenda Lawrence and what she would bring to the ticket?
Well, Brenda Lawrence was a pick to balance out the Democratic ticket. Now, I mean, is racial and geographic balance. That's big for the Democrats. They like to have the different factions of their party represented, and one of the big stools of their, or one of the big legs to their stool is urban areas, the city of Detroit, and African Americans. You know, in the city of Detroit, Democrats win in general elections for state rep races with 95% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, think about that for a second. I mean, that's how Democratic Detroit is. And that's something that you really can't ignore when you're the Democratic Party. I mean, you got to, I don't want to say throw them a bone, but, I mean, you have to recognize that they're a significant part of your base, and you can't discard that. And
I'd take it one step further, Kyle. I don't think the Democrats can win any statewide election without a significant turnout in Detroit.
Oh, you're exactly correct. I mean, in fact, in 1990, Jim Blanchard's loss to Governor Engler was in part blamed on the fact that the city of Detroit didn't come out in the numbers they used to, because Coleman Young, the mayor of Detroit at the time, had a grudge with Jim Blanchard, and he just held off his get-out-the-vote effort. So you're exactly right. And so, you know, in order to encourage that vote, in order to get African-Americans excited, he picked an African-American mayor from Southfield, somebody who, by any definition, is very popular. I mean, if you think Virge won by a landslide with 63% of the vote last go-around, she won with 77, 78, something like that.
Wow.
You know, so amazingly popular for the folks in her district. So I think that was a great choice for him as far as evening out the ticket. Now, is it somebody who's going to blow the socks off the ticket and you and me and everybody at home say, wow, that's a wonderful choice? No, it's not. But, I mean, is there really any choice out there that would? I mean, if you think about it, I mean, who's he going to put on the ticket that's going to, you know, bring stars to our eyes and convince any undecided voter out there that, hey, I want Virge Bonaro? You know, there really isn't anybody.
No.
I mean, if you want to be honest with yourself. So,
no.
You know, it was a solid choice. I mean, and it balanced off a ticket, which is what he needed to do. And she's a mayor as well, and so, you know, you got a couple perspectives there from different cities, and they worked together before on the whole General Motors and Chrysler bailout situation in Washington and trying to improve the image of Michigan and auto workers. So, they worked before. They got a relationship. So I'd say overall, pretty good pick.
Well, we know which is the party of the mayors.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's interesting, too? I was trying to go back in history and try and find out the last time we even had a major party mayor be a gubernatorial candidate, let alone have two on the same ticket. I mean, I'm having a real hard time going back and actually finding one. I found one back in the later 1880s, and I think the early 1900s, I think we had a mayor of Detroit who ran and won. But, I mean, you really got to go back in time to find a situation where we even had one on the ballot, let alone a tag team.
Fascinating. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. I'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, thanks, Jack.
Kyle Malin of MERS Newsletter, also a great columnist with City Pulse. We'll be right back with more. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley. Ebling and you, 1320 WILS.
Here's your updated Lansing area forecast for more compelling talk radio 1320.